Hello and welcome to the Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to give you an insight on all things pharma and health, from discussing trends in the industry to key issues in health with all the relevant experts. And in the fourth series of the Medicine Box, we get you a mix of industry and analyst opinion. We have experts discussing the key opportunities and challenges of Indian pharma and health, along with perspective from cutting-edge companies that are redefining the pharma space via technology. Our guest on today's podcast is Nimish Mehta, founder of Research Delta Advisors, an advisory focused on pharma and health. Nimish's experience in the pharma space spans more than two decades, including consulting and advisory on M&A, exit entry decisions. He joins in today to discuss what a Para IV litigation is, what a Para IV is, and lists out any potential Para IV opportunities for specific pharma companies. Hi, Nimish. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you.
Nimish, let's start by telling us what exactly a Para IV is.
Sure. So before getting into the Para IV definition process and all that, let me just take you through the patenting overview as to how a pharmaceutical product in US is protected through patents. First of all, you know, as you would be aware, that most of the pharma products are kind of covered with multiple patents. So, you know, there are compound patents, there are process patents, formulation patents, and whatnot. From that perspective, compound patent is supposed to be the most strong, in fact the strongest of all, and typically a generic company would not target a compound patent when they want to kind of try to invalidate any patent. They would generally typically try to target the other patents. Now, apart from patents, there is something known as exclusivity as well, which also covers these products. Now, exclusivity is works like a patent, but is very different than a patent. Patent, as you may be aware, you know, it takes about 20 years. I mean, basically you get a patent life of 20 years, but the product conceptualized is way before the actual launch of the product. So typically, you know, you may be in a situation where you end up just developing the product in the patent life and you get nothing out of it in terms of the patent protection. So in that circumstances, the US government has allowed you a 5-year exclusivity, which triggers after launch, regardless of the patent life. So that another 5 year is, it's not actually an addition to the patent life, but from wherever the product is launched till 5 years, nobody can enter, no generic can enter, come what may. I mean, there may be, you know, they may be all frivolous patent, but still they will get 5 year exclusivity. So this is broadly how our product is protected through patents and exclusivity in the US. Now, coming to Para IV, this is a part of the Hatch-Waxman Act, in which there is a specific incentive given to the generic company who would try and invalidate or prove non-infringement to patents which otherwise are blocking cheaper generic versions. So Para IV is actually a filing under Paragraph 4. There is filing under Para 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 and 2 typically deals with products where there is no patent as of now. Para 1 is where you have actually no patent at all. It may be those old products which were in the US, let's say even before the patenting system was come into the thing. The second is Para 2, where all the patents as of now have expired and anybody can launch the product upon approval. Para 3 is where you have patents, you have live patents as of now, but a generic company is claiming that we will only launch it after the patent expires. So that is a Para 3 filing. And Para 4 filing is where either believe that the patent is invalid or we have a process to, you know, kind of show that it is not infringing the innovator's patent.
Okay.
So that is the Para 4 filing.
Okay.
So once a company...
So even despite having, say, a patent at that point in time, a Para IV can challenge that patent and come out as a different drug.
True. So when a generic company files an ANDA, they have to certify under which para are they filing this product. So any company who chooses to file under Para IV, in a way, is claiming that either the innovator's patent is not valid, or there is a way to kind of make the same product in a different way.
In a different, more effective way.
No, it is actually a prototype. So generics are prototype.
Yeah.
So it's neither better nor worse. It has to be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But It's just a different way. For example, there may be a salt in a particular innovator product, and they would have taken a patent on that particular salt. Whereas the generic company says, well, we will use a different salt. Okay, so it gives you the same effect. It gives you the same impact and whatever, you know, is supposed to. But it's a different way of making.
Okay. There is a difference between, say, the biosimilar laws as well as generic para for litigations as well. What is the difference?
Well, the difference starts with exclusivity, first of all. As I said, there is a 5-year exclusivity when it comes to synthetic products. Even a para for challenge, successful para for challenge cannot kind of violate that exclusivity. The same exclusivity is actually 12 years in biotech products. So once the product is launched, till next 12 years, nobody can touch the patents or nobody can violate the patents. Nobody can launch the product practically. Now this is a huge difference because what happens is in a synthetic drug, as I said, in both the drugs, synthetic or biotech, you have a patent life of 20 years, right? A normal synthetic or a biosimilar drug may take, let's say, 8 to 10 years to develop. Now, a synthetic drug, after the 10th year, let's say, of launch, I mean, when they get launched, after 10th year from the patent life, they get another 5 years, so which is well within the patents that they anyway get. Second is, there is no para for filing per se, but there are still patent issues. And typically, what we have seen so far is that a biotech product is covered by far many number of patents than normal synthetic drugs. So for example, Herceptin patents are more than 100, right? And typically the number of patents, the highest number of patents we would have encountered in Paraphor is 20 or 25. Mm. So that's the kind of difference.
So that's a huge difference between the two.
That's a huge difference, yeah. Maybe because, you know, there are so many indications that a biotech product covers,
okay,
versus limited, mostly one indication.
So biosimilars can be challenged more, or is it generics that can be challenged more?
Both can be challenged, but biosimilars challenges will not be a part of Paraphor. It will be a usual filing. Mm. And there is something known as patent dance, as they say, in which once you file a product, you have to kind of go and tell. There is a voluntary method in which you can discuss the patents between the innovator and the generic company. Mm. After that is over, then the litigation starts. So that is generally the process in biosimilar. The other big difference is between biosimilar and synthetic product is that in synthetic product, you get 180-day exclusivity. Mm. For all those Paraphor filers who are the first one to file the Paraphor. In this case, since there is no Paraphor, there is no first one. But anybody who files the first interchangeable version, AB rated version, will get a 180-day exclusivity. Typically, all the biosimilars are not prototypes. They are basically a variant of the existing innovative drug.
Okay.
Right, so if anybody is filing a prototype under interchangeable laws, then they will get 180-day exclusive. It is that way to say.
Okay, what is the importance of Paraphor currently in the Indian market? I mean, are we seeing a lot of Paraphors in the Indian market? I mean, traditionally, how many Indian companies, in fact, apply for Paraphor litigations?
Well, Paraphor is actually at the cornerstone of the U.S. generic story, or whatever you call. Okay. The whole act was defined and was kind of conceptualized basically with a view that there will be more generic entrants because there is an incentive by way of 180-day exclusivity. Mm. So Paraphor, from that perspective, is extremely, extremely important. Pharma companies, Indian pharma companies, actually I would kind of say that they've mastered the space. And the kind of pricing innovator company enjoys, is phenomenal, and thus once a generic company gets 180-day exclusivity, they also tend to enjoy huge pricing. Obviously not as high as the innovator pricing, but it is significantly higher. Mm. Once there are all the generics in the product, you know that the price erodes to almost 90-95 or even 99%. But in this case, typically the price will erode only 20-30 or 40% at max. So that way, it's a huge opportunity for any generic company. Indian companies, actually, as I said, they were among the top ones. I mean, they have targeted the top products for a very long period. Mm. Lipitor is a classic example. Mm. You know, the largest product in those days, where Ranbaxy had a 180-day exclusivity and all of that. Mm. So it is extremely important. That has led to the kind of growth of pharma companies, Indian pharma companies that we have seen so far.
Okay, well, you've spoken about a couple of Para IV opportunities that you've identified for specific companies. So let's start with, say, Sun Pharma and Lyrica CR. Lyrica is this drug which basically helps nerve issues.
Right.
So can you give us a sense in terms of what kind of opportunity is it for Sun Pharma, Lyrica CR, and when would it probably fructify if that is the case?
Right. So this is actually a case ongoing. So just to give a brief background of Lyrica, Lyrica is, I think, in US, branded sales of about 3 billion plus. Mm-hmm. So that way, it's a fairly large product. Mm-hmm. In the patent litigations of Lyrica, all the generic companies have actually lost to Pfizer, which means that they could not launch before 30th June. So we have seen the generics entering just a few days back. And there are a lot many generics. Now what Pfizer has done, and typically a lot of the innovator companies do, is try to, you know, evergreen the patent. So they have launched this Lyrica CR, which is a controlled release, which has obviously a fewer frequency of dosage in comparison to Lyrica. They launched it in late 2017 or early 2018. So they got one and a half year of launch time before Lyrica became generic. Now, we actually don't know the sales of Lyrica CR, but we assume that a lot of the Lyrica sales would have been shifted to Lyrica CR. From that perspective, it becomes an interesting product. Now, coming to the litigation between Sun Pharma and Pfizer, Sun Pharma has actually filed a Para IV on Lyrica CR. There was no patent litigation initiated by Pfizer. And Sun Pharma in April has actually demanded a declaratory judgment, which means that, you know, either you say that the patent, I mean, our version is okay, or you just file another case against us. So there is no progress beyond that. But, you know, if this goes like this, in the sense that if it goes unlitigated, then this can be a potentially big opportunity for Sun Pharma, assuming a lot of the sales of Lyrica have been shifted to Lyrica CR.
Okay.
Which as of now, we are not really...
You don't know that. But there's another opportunity for Sun as well, which is basically a drug which deals with high iron content, Jadenu.
Right.
Can you just tell us, because Novartis is settled with Sun Pharma?
Right. So Jadenu again, yeah. So Novartis has settled with Sun Pharma. We don't know the settlement terms between Actavis and or Teva and the innovator company. We also don't know the terms between Sun Pharma and the innovator company. But because, you know, what we understand is that it should be able to launch any time from now. Post the 180-day exclusivity, Sun Pharma also can launch. And as far as we know, there are no other Para IV filers in this space. So it's a decent low competition opportunity for Sun Pharma.
All right, so let's move away from Sun Pharma now. For example, Dr. Reddy's has a couple of opportunities according to you.
Right.
Let's start with Exempra Kit, which is basically a cancer drug. Litigations dismissed with Dr. Reddy's.
Correct. So again, I think Dr. Reddy is the only Para IV filer here. They've still not got an approval as of now. And so we are not very sure about whether do they enjoy 180-day exclusivity or not. But they definitely are the only one as of now. So practically, they will be enjoying exclusivity. This is, again, a product where, you know, I mean, we don't know the settlement terms. But the first patent, the basic patent, the compound patent, expired in November 2018. And the last patent expires in July 2022. So somewhere in between, the settlement should have been kind of, been agreed upon. In next couple of years, this can be a launch, and which can be a meaningful launch given that, there is nobody else other than Dr. Reddy as of now in the Para IV space.
Okay. Can you give a sense in terms of how, a generic company assesses which drug to file a Para IV for?
Yeah, okay. So that actually depends on, I would say the first and foremost is their R&D capability. So they would essentially, develop certain kind of expertise within their company. They would focus on those products where, you know, they have an expertise to. So, for example, I mean, as far as we understand, there is controlled release, which is an area of technology for generic companies. Some companies have actually been focusing on that. Torrent Pharma used to focus on that opportunity for quite some time. Having focused on certain of these technologies, then they will basically go around finding which are the products in that, and then they'll find out the patent life of that product. Once they know the patent life of the product, then obviously, once again, back to their R&D, they will try to understand whether they will be able to, you know, come out with a non-infringing process or is there a way to invalidate their patents. Once they identify that, they will then start developing it, whether it is actually possible or not. And once they reach a stage, I mean, typically you file a para for 1 year before the 5 year exclusivity ends. So by that time, if they are ready with their product, then on that day, that is known as NC minus one, they will file a para for. And that's how it's triggered. I mean, till then, obviously, they will not have any great understanding of how many
other companies are actually filing for the same para for.
Correct.
So how does one company compete with another when it comes to a para for? Why is my para for valid and why is X's para for not valid? Or is it that both are valid and both will have litigation separately?
Yes, so there are both the things which can happen. I mean, most of the time, both the para fors are valid. Para for, as I said, I mean, the first one to file a para for, valid para for, and also been able to kind of successfully challenge the patents, will get 180-day exclusivity. So from that perspective, if you are the first one, your para for is better than the rest of the others. Even if you are the first one, there are multiple first to file para for filers, which means on that particular day, a lot many companies would have targeted the product. And if that is the case, then you end up getting diluted 180-day exclusivity. So it really, I mean, is a fluid thing. It's not something that is known to any company 100% before they file. They would have some understanding based on their market intelligence. But otherwise, you only get to know when you file that para for and on that day what happens.
Okay. All right. But you have a couple of other opportunities you've identified, Nimish. So you have Zydus Pharma, where they have a cardiac drug, Cardi's MLA,
right,
plus another drug for Zydus Cadila, which is Opsumit. Can you just explain the opportunity for both of them?
Sure. Cardizem LA is a long-acting cardizem. So it's actually, cardizem is an old product. There have been other variants of cardizem as well.
It's a cardiac drug.
It's a cardiac drug, yeah. So, I mean, Cadila has been, has targeted this product. Watson has already got an approval and they've also settled the litigation. They launched it way back in 2010. So Zydus Cadila is the only other company so far who have filed a para for. And they also got a settlement, you know, recently, a few months back. So they can also launch it upon approval. It's not a very big product. It's about $80-85 million in, but still it's a, you know, low competition opportunity for Cadila.
And Opsumit, that's a hypertension drug?
Right. So Opsumit is where Amnil also is into the litigation. So Amnil and Cadila both have filed para for. And we understand that both may get one FTF status. Now, the 30 months count that is applicable to any of the para for filers will expire in 2020. And so if they get an approval by then, they both will get 180-day exclusivity. The litigation is still ongoing. There is no approval as of now. But you know, the product can be launched after 2020. I mean, and there are various patents that are challenged. So it's slightly premature, but again, low competition, it's something where Cadila can get 180-day exclusivity along with Amnil.
Okay, quickly then, Nimish, leave us with some famous para for opportunities which Indian companies have taken advantage of. You did mention Lipitor, but anything more which comes to mind and anything which you'd be watching very closely going forward as well?
Well, in the past, I mean, Lipitor was one of the most important one. There had been other opportunities like Sun Pharma's, I think, Protonix. That was a para for which actually was launched at risk. And for many years, Sun Pharma and Teva was the only company to have kind of been in the market. Finally, they lost the litigation there to pay the damages. That is another glorious case of what they made. Other than that, I think there had been many smaller para fors as well. But the big one, obviously, is Copaxone, which has been launched by Natco Pharma. Yeah, so, I mean, Copaxone is more known or remembered because of its complexity and less because of its para for. But they did challenge it, and they did it successfully as well. But obviously, I mean, they got an approval much later because of the complexity around the product. So that is another. Dr. Reddy's actually was the first one to get a para for in Indian space, is what I understand. Fluoxetine was their first product, where at that time it was a fairly big product for Dr. Reddy because Dr. Reddy was very small in size in those days, so that was a successful para for challenge for them. So there had been many such products. I mean, these are the ones that come to my mind offhand. The interesting one from here on, I mean, some of the one that we just discussed is not very big, but some of the obvious ones which are kind of discussed in the market as well. One of them is Revlimid. Revlimid is where
Natco.
Again, it's a large product, $5-6 billion. I mean, it can become much larger than what it is today, given the way it is growing in sales. So Revlimid is an interesting case where Natco has already got an upper hand. There are many other filers, and settlements might happen many soon. I mean, there are a couple of, I think there is one more settlement which probably has happened. We are assuming that Dr. Reddy's also may settle just because they've settled in Canada. So that is another interesting opportunity. Suboxone. That again we know is an interesting opportunity for many of the companies. In the past interesting para for Lialda also was one of those. Asacol HD, Lialda, these are the parafors which have given.
So that gives an idea in terms of the kind of opportunities that are available and in terms of the drugs that you'd be watching out for. Okay, well, on that note, Nimish, we're going to wrap up on the conversation. Thanks very much for joining in on the Medicine Box and taking us through and explaining to us what exactly a para for is and what are the kind of opportunities some of the companies might face in terms of the recent para for litigations. Thanks very much.
Thank you.